Utah's Representative Chris Stewart has introduced legislation to exempt recreational outfitters from a federal mandate to pay a higher minimum wage. So what's the story behind this bill? I posed that question to Thomas Burr, Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics.
So your listeners probably remember last year, President Obama issued an executive order that said that any federal contractors had to pay, you know, the quote unquote living wage of $10.10 for 2015. And it goes up, at a certain point. People saw that, but places, river rafters in Moab didn't really think that would affect them. But actually, a new rule by the Department of Labor says that if they're going to have a federal permit to, say, take, tourists on a raft down the Colorado River near Moab, that they have to pay those workers the $10.10 wage. So Congressman Stewart has introduced legislation to exempt people like river rafters and outfitters and guides and, you know, horseback riding, companies, those kind of groups from this rule just because they go on federal land as part of their business. There was a hearing yesterday this week in Congress about the legislation, and it's got a lot of co-sponsors. Of course, Democrats are pushing back, and the Department of Labor is pushing back, saying that, you know, a living wage is good for people, especially people who are, you know, not making much money. Like in this case, you know, a lot of these are college students trying to make money, save money for school. When they're doing these jobs and paying them more helps them out and helps the economy overall. There's the usual give and take when you talk about the minimum wage. But Congressman Stewart's trying to make sure that these companies are saved from having to pay more.
So, but I mean, is he being pushed by outfitters or the outdoor industry in general to do this, or what's the sort of motivation behind it?
Yeah, there is a group. In my story, it's in the Salt Lake Tribune. I talked to an outfitter in Moab who talks about how she'd have to hire fewer people if this was the case, if she had to pay more. And there's an outdoor association that's pushing this bill, saying that it's really going to hurt these small businesses, these mom and pop shops who are just trying to get by and, you know, take people out on the river and don't want to deal with, you know, more federal mandates.
I mean, the same could be said of any industry, though, right? Anybody who has to comply with a federal mandate like this could make basically the same argument, right?
Absolutely. On both sides, too. Businesses will make one argument and, you know, advocates for, you know, income inequality will make another argument.
Right. Of course. Well, Thomas, on another subject altogether, Senator Mike Lee gave a big speech on religious liberty yesterday. What was the gist of his message?
So this is a lot of what we've heard from Senator Mike Lee before about protecting religious organizations, churches, religious schools from having to recognize same-sex marriages or perform them or you know, bake cakes for same-sex marriages or cater, you know, weddings like that. His concern is that with the growing trend to legalize, you know, same-sex marriage, this, you know, court rulings and those type, that these institutions need protection. What he knew in this message, though, is his idea that this should be a movement at the local, state, and federal level, that people shouldn't just wait to see if Congress can do something, that they should pass legislation in cities, that the states should protect themselves to make sure that religious organizations are not forced to recognize same-sex marriages. Of course, on the other side, you have places like Equality Utah that are saying, you know, this is a gross distortion of religious liberty, that, you know, it's not okay for the government to say you can put up a sign that says no gays served here, and that Mike Lee is his push is really just goes against the idea of religious liberty.
Well, and I mean, I guess some of this is the Utah model, right? The fact that we do have a religious freedom bill paired with our non-discrimination ordinance, maybe Mike Lee is saying let's expand that across the country.
Yeah, but his goes much further. The Utah law really was supported by Republicans, Democrats, churches, non-religious people, gay and straight groups. It was really supported by a lot of stakeholders there. Mike Lee's push is to say that it is okay for a bakery to deny, baking a cake for a gay wedding, or that a caterer can say no, that they don't want to deal with catering a gay wedding, or recognizing in some form a gay marriage in some form. So his bill is he hasn't introduced it yet, but will. It comes from more of the one side approach.
Thomas, I got to ask, and this is just speculation, but if I had a religion that said, nobody over the age of 50 was allowed to fit into the scheme of my religion, would what Mike Lee is suggesting kind of allow me to say, no, if you're over 50, you can't eat at my restaurant?
I'm not a lawyer, so I'm going to let lawyers get into that one. But his point is that people who have religious convictions shouldn't have to put those aside just because someone else wants them to.
Okay. So he gave the speech. Is he going to introduce legislation or anything like that at the federal level?
He is. He introduced a similar bill about 2 years ago. He plans to introduce this legislation. Republicans do control both sides of the Hill these days, so maybe it will get some movement. But I'm sure there's plenty of groups who will push back.
So, Thomas, as we're speaking, Mitt Romney is holding a big gathering of politicos in Park City. Is he still thinking about a third run at the presidency?
I'm sure he always thinks about a third run of the presidency, but he's pretty much ruled that out. This is the big E2 summit that he's held every year since he lost the presidential race in 2012. And he gets a good group. I mean, you have Scott Walker up there, Marco Rubio. I think Chris Christie is going to be there, and you have other people like David Axelrod on the Democratic side, as well as very rich potential donors. Gathering there, a very influential group. This is more about Romney playing the kingmaker role, which we talked about before, that Romney is not going to fade into, the horizon. You'll never see him again. He's still going to be very much an influential figure in Republican politics and presidential politics. And this is his way of saying, okay, you want to run for president, you need to meet all the people I want you to meet, and they want to meet you, and I'm going to facilitate it.
Well, okay, so he's trying to not fade into obscurity, but people are actually jumping at this because you might think that Republican presidential hopefuls wouldn't want to have the blessing of someone who didn't win the presidency.
Yeah, and in fact, Romney's being very careful to say he's not backing anyone yet. And that's a smart thing to do this early in the race. You don't want to jump behind somebody who may flame out at some point. But it really is an opportunity for people like Scott Walker or Marco Rubio to meet some of the potential, huge donors to their campaigns or policy, policy people, or even just to maybe talk about some issues with others that might spurn support later on. So this is really a great opportunity. It's one room they can walk into and have all these people available.
Right, opening up their wallets. I know you got to run here in a second, Thomas, but I have to ask, the outlier in that list of people you mentioned was David Axelrod. What's his connection with this conference?
This is Romney trying to be bipartisan in some form. Obviously, we know where his politics lie, and most of the people who are going to be there where their politics lie. But he wants to make sure that this is an inclusive group as well, that there are other opinions that are there. So yeah, there are probably a few Democrats up there mingling with some Republicans, a lot more Republicans. But again, if you want to have an influential group, you can't get them from just one side.
All right. Thomas Burr, Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune, thanks very much for speaking with us again today.
Thanks, Roger.
And again, that was Salt Lake Tribune Washington correspondent Thomas Burr, author of Political Cornflakes. He joins us every week for this discussion, and you can find a link to Political Cornflakes on our website, kcpw.org. Burr is also one of the guests on this morning's Behind the Headlines, the weekly reporter news roundtable from the Salt Lake Tribune. That's coming up at 9 a.m. I'm Roger McDonough. You're tuned to KCPW.